Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuqarribuna ila hubbik ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you for your love. We want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those people who love Him. So three things: if we have Allah's love, the love of the actions, and then love of the people, then inshallah we're on that path already, inshallah ta'ala. Today's lesson, inshallah, is Bab al-Thani fi al-Radha'il. It is one of the key chapters of Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba rahimahullah's Masalik al-Jinan. It's a chapter in which he talks about a very important aspect of your well-being spiritually as a Muslim. Imam Ghazali, in one of his books, he gave this beautiful example that there was a king who said to two artists that I want you to create the most splendid and amazing painting. And whichever of you makes the most splendid and amazing painting, then I'll give a reward to that person. And so he set them separately and he put a curtain in between them. And no one could see what each of them was working on for days and days and days and days and days. And so time goes on and time goes on and time goes on. And finally it comes time where they're supposed to now show what they've accomplished. So the first one goes and he takes the drape that's over what he made and he pulls it down. And undoubtedly, there was this amazing painting that he put together. It was phenomenal. It was amazing. And then everyone was like, you know, there's no way to beat this. There's no way to top this painting. And then the next person, Imam Ghazali says, it's just an example. Imam Ghazali says, then the second painter, he was brought forward. And he said, okay, I'm going to show mine, but I want mine to be directly opposite of that person's, the other painter's. So his is here facing that way, mine is here facing this way, right? So he brings his painting, and he brings whatever it is he's been working on, and when he pulls the drape down, what the people realize is that he didn't actually paint anything, but what he did was he took glass or metal, and he shined it, and cleaned it, to the point where it was reflecting the beauty of that painting, but amplifying the beauty because of other light that was coming in as well. So he didn't paint anything. All he did was clean that so well that it reflected the beauty of the other one. This is just an example Imam Ghazali gives. And he says that in reality, that painting is your heart. Your heart has to be polished. Your heart has to be worked on, so that it can reflect the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And so by working on your heart, bettering your state, you're able to reflect the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, where people see you, they're like, yo, he got some nur on him, man. Like, what you using, man? And you're like, nothing, yo, qiyam al-layl, yo. Qiyam al-layl. Another dude looking all shabby, like, what you do? Like, I miss Fajr, you know what I mean? That's what's wrong, you know? So the point Imam Ghazali is trying to say is that one of the primary focuses that we should have as young Muslims is that we need to be polishing, checking, and making sure the heart is clean. That brings me to the chapter that Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba rahimahullah brings us to. The name of this chapter is called Radha'il. Radha'il is a word that means vices or dirty aspects of the heart. The opposite of it is Fada'il or Tahsiniyat. And the concept is this. Listen, this is very important to understand. That the believer, what Imam Ghazali teaches, is that there's no middle. You're either in the fada'il or you're in the raza'il. And you're always oscillating between the two. So the objective is when we find certain raza'il in us. Here's the first thing. Living in America, living in the West, the first thing we need to do is learn what the raza'il are. Because many of us have grown up in such a culture and such an environment that we don't even know what raza'il is anymore. We don't know the bad qualities. So how can I clean myself of things I don't even know that they're bad? So one of the things that we have to do first and foremost is make sure that that moral compass is calibrated to the same ideals of the Prophet ﷺ's moral compass. And so by studying this chapter of Shaykh Ahmad Dubamba rahimahullah ta'ala, we're going to get a look at how you break down the radha'il of the heart, and then we're going to talk about how to rectify and start to shine and clean that mirror so that your heart is just shining the beauty of the rest of the creation. Fahimtum? So listen to what he says. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He says, "I'lam habana Allahu khayra afiya fi majma'i ad-darain ghayra afiya." أن رضائل من الذنوب مورثة قساوة القلوب. He says that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us in this world and the next world, and may He give us all afia from all of the radha'il. Afia means may He protect you from them. So that all of these radha'il, whatever they are, may Allah protect you from them. Say ameen inshaAllah. He says, أن رضائل من الذنوب مورثة قساوة القلوب. He says the first reality is this, radha'il of the heart. These radha'il from the sins, these vices of the sins, the first thing you need to understand is the effect of them is qasawat al-qulubi. Qasawat al-qulubi means the hardening of the heart. The hardening of the heart. Now, when we talk about the hardening of the heart, what we have to understand that translates to me and you. What does it mean, my heart is hard? What does that mean? It means that you lose the sensitivity to the dhunub. You lose the sensitivity to the dhunub. Where the dhunub, everyone knows dhunub, right? Sins, right? So the sins become adi for you. They become very normal for you. So that prick, like that feeling like, oh man, it goes away. And what the Prophet ﷺ taught in the Sahih Hadith is that as a person sins more, and you become more habituated to it, you become desensitized to it, to the point where the heart becomes very, very hard. Very, very hard. And you could do the worst of sins and feel nothing. And so what is he saying here? He says that الرضائل من الذنوب مورثة قساوة القلوب. The effect of it is that it will cause the hardening of the heart. And this is the tafsir of the verse that many of us know, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That's what that verse is referring to, that the more actions, and in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that every time a person commits a sin, right, there's a black dot that comes on the heart, right, and it's callous. Think of it as the calluses that you get from, like, you know, hitting the gym and working out or whatever you get calluses from. I don't know what you get calluses from. But it starts to callous, and what happens is you lose the sensitivity there. And someone can, you know, prick it with a needle, they can do anything, but it doesn't feel anything, right? And the objective is that, no, when there's life in something, when the cells are alive and the skin cells are alive, they feel everything. They feel everything. So they feel a soft touch. They feel fire when it burns. They feel the prick of the smallest needle because there's life there. But what happens is with multiple sins, and here's the trick of shaitan. We've talked about this multiple times. The trick of shaitan is, yo, don't do Toba right now, because you know where we're going to be tomorrow. And the thing is, the reason why that's such a deceitful trick of shaitan is because it's slowly making you worse and worse and worse, and you'll lose the tawfiq to do Toba. Right? So again, he says, the effect of the radha'il, min al-dhunub, murithatun qasawat al-qulubi. He says, وَكَثْرَتُهَا يُفْذِي إِلَى الشَّقَاوَ وَتَرْدِي وَالْحِرْمَانِ وَالْعَدَاوَ. He's like, having a lot of these sins and these radha'ils within you will lead you to wretchedness. Shaqawa is, so there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, he said, four things are written about every baby when it's in the womb. And one of them was the actions it would do. Another is when it would die, so on and so forth. And one of them is shaqiyun aw sa'id. Is this child a fortunate child or a wretched child? Meaning the final place of this child, is it Jannah or is the final place hellfire? Right? Now, we don't have to have a whole discussion on predestination, but my point is the word shaqawa, what he's trying to say is that as these sins keep coming, then it leads to that wretchedness. Everyone understand? It's leading you down that path. And so when the Sahaba heard this hadith, they were like, so why are we doing actions if it's already written? And the Prophet ﷺ was like, اعملوا فإنما كل نفس ميسر لما خلق له. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, do actions, because whatever you're written for, those actions will become easy to you. So what that means is if you find yourself in righteous gatherings, then that's showing you that that's the way Allah has written for you to be. And if you find yourself in other company, then you're like, oh my God, is my outcome supposed to be shaqi? So that's the idea there. So he says, وَالطَّرَدِي. The other effect is that it pushes you away. It pushes you. What does it mean that it pushes you away? Well, the word tarad is used for shaitan. The word shatana, shaitan, we call the devil shaitan, right? What does shatana actually mean in the dictionary? Pushed away. Because what happened with shaitan is not only did he sin, but he like stayed on his sin. Like, nah, I did what I was supposed to do. And because of that, he was pushed away, shatana. So that's when his name was changed to shaitan, because shatana means pushed away. So what he's explaining is as the sins increase, then you get pushed further and further away. They're like, yo, you rolled in the halaqah. You're like, nah, I'll be there next time. Yo. I'll be there next time, I'm not coming through. What about Monday roots? Nah, I'll see, you know, whatever, next time, inshallah. Right? Then you just keep getting pushed away. You don't want good company. Wahirman. And the next thing that happens is you become deprived of good things. So there's a hadith that really, really like sets me straight sometimes. And the hadith is that إِنَّ الْعَبْدْ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقْ بِذَمْ يُسِيبُهُ. Sahih hadith. And it really wakes me up sometimes. The hadith is the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed a person is deprived of some of their own rizq. What is rizq? Your provisions. What's yours? Because of the sins that they do. So like something is written for you, but you slipped up over here, and now your risk is getting less because of that. And so for me, sometimes that's a sin that really wakes me up, because it's like I'm cutting back on my own stuff through these sins. So he says, Hirman. Well, adawa and hatred. The other effect of these sins is that you begin to hate what? What does he mean by hatred? Well, what did we begin to get today's lesson with the dua about? Hubba. حُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكْ وَحُبَّ عَمَلًا يُقَرِّبُنَا. حُبَّ of Allah, we want love of Allah, we want love of people who love Allah, and we want love of the actions. All of that becomes hatred in your heart as the sins increase. وَشُؤْمُهَا يَكُونُ ذَاتَ عَجُلِ قَبَلَ مَمَاتِ مَنْ هَوَاهَا أَجَلِ وَمِنْهُ أَنَّمَا يُسِيبُهُ أَبَدْ مِنَ الْبَلَايِ نِقْمَةُ اللَّهِ أَحَدْ وَأَنَّمَا يَنَالُهُ مِنَ النِّعَمِ مَكْرٌ مَا إِسْتِدْرَاجِ ذِلْعَرْشِ نَعَمْ. So he breaks something down here, which is pretty, pretty interesting. What's the effect of sins as far as how do we deal with the hardships and the ease that Allah gives us in life? How do we view that? Like, you get a raise, you know, you get a new whip, or you lose your job, you lose something dear to you, you're going through hardships. How do we understand the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the calamities? Rhetorical question I'm about to answer. I got you. So, it's my man right there. I love you, bro. Okay, so the way we understand it is what he's explaining right now. He says, listen, normally we can all process the hardship that it could be a punishment from Allah. Normally all of us, when we get the flat tire, we're like, dang, I missed Fajr this morning. That's what we immediately connect it to. The first sin that we recently did, we're like, dang, that's why I did, right? And then whenever the good comes, the boss is like, you know, I want to call you, and, you know, you've been doing amazing. You know, we want to give you a promotion. Ahmed, mashallah, Fatima, you've been doing amazing. And you're like, yeah, that's the extra dhikr right there. So we immediately translate the blessings with our good deeds and immediately translate the hardships with our bad deeds. Which is okay. You should have that checklist. Like, you start slipping up, you'd be like, yo, where's my bad deeds? What's up? But the Sahaba had a different scale too. What was their scale? They looked at, now this is deep, this is a higher level, all right? This is like 201, like Islamic spirituality 201, all right? All right, we ain't in Sunday school no more, all right? All right, 201. Sahaba took it to another level. Hear me out on this. When they saw blessings coming, they started to question, is this Allah just giving us everything in dunya so that we have nothing in akhirah? Because the hadith tell us that Allah gives everything to the kafir in dunya. Everything, whatever they want, because this is Jannatul Kafir, right? This dunya is the garden of paradise for the disbeliever. So our understanding is that Allah will give you here. He'll give it because this means nothing to him, right? And so the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they had a slightly different way of looking at it. Yeah, they looked at it the first way. That's normal. We always look at it that way. But there's another level which he's trying to teach us in these lines, which is sometimes when the blessings are coming is something called istidraj. Istidraj is in the Quran. What does istidraj mean? It's when you just let someone keep going. سَنَسْتَدْرِيجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That's the verse of the Quran in Surah Qalam. That Allah's like, all right, you want to do bad? There's another verse that says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِرَ بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says that when they forgot us completely, we opened up the doors of good to them. Take everything. But you're like, wait, why? Why? Because dunya is nothing to Allah. And the exact opposite now. What does the hadith say about those who are most beloved to Allah? A lot of hardship. A lot of hardship. Now, most people hearing that, they're like, man, I'm out. Right? I'm out, dude. But look at it this way, as I always say. When you put more weight on the bar, it's because you can handle it. You get what I'm saying? Think about what I just said. When you put more weight on the bar, like if someone told you when you walk in the weight room that as you get, you know, more stronger, we're going to give you more weight. You'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. That makes sense. Similarly, the same way the Anbiya had the hardest trials because they were benching the most. They had the most ability to handle that. And so the point I'm trying to highlight here is that by no means, the main thing you should take from this is by no means equate blessings of dunya with Allah's love. That's bottom line. By no means should you ever equate blessings of dunya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for somebody. Because if that's the case, why did Jonah go through what he went through? Why did Ayub go through, Job go through what he went through, Ayub? Why did Yusuf go through what he went through, alayhi salatu wassalam? And why did Isa go through what he went through? And why did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam go through what he went through? Were they not beloved of Allah? Of course they were beloved of Allah. But the true gift of Allah is given in Jannah, in the Akhirah, not in this world. All right? So what he's trying to tell us here is that one of the effects, so now let me translate. All of that was just so we can understand what he's about to drop on us. He says, and sometimes the evil consequences of these rava'il, these evil deeds, they actually hit you in this world early. And then he says, but sometimes as a punishment. And so that's the first way we look at it. But then he said, but also, وَأَنَّمَا يَنَالُهُ مِنَ النِّعَمِ. But also sometimes the blessings that come to you, مَكْرٌ مَعَ إِسْتِدْرَاجِ لِلْعَرْشِ نَعَمْ. It's not a blessing, but actually it's just Allah letting you go, giving you everything, because you're like, you left, you bounced. You're like, I'm gone. He's like, all right, take everything, you good. Fahimt? Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq. Now what does he say next? لَا تَحْقِرْ أَبَدْ ذَنْبًا وَلَوْ قَلَّ فَبَعْدِرْ لِلسَّمَدْ بِتَوْبَةٍ مِنْهُ نَسُوحٍ. Look what he says next. He says, never ever look down upon any sin. Hear me out on this. لَا تَحْقِرْ أَبَدْ. Any sin. Don't ever look down upon any disobedience of Allah. There's a narration that I recall of one of the Sahaba. They were like, when the Sahaba committed a sin, it was as if there was a mountain hanging over them. And when you commit sins, it's as if a mosquito is trying to bite you. Meaning how serious they took that disobedience of Allah. Ja'far as-Sadiq, he says three things are hidden in three things. This is beautiful. Write this down. Three things are hidden in three things. The anger of Allah is hidden in some sin. The pleasure of Allah is hidden in some good deed. You never know what small good deed. You never know. Yo, you just open the door for somebody. You just pick something up off the street. Allah's like, I love that. Because your heart was so pure. And then the third thing hidden inside of other things. The friend of Allah is hidden amongst the servants. Somebody, like I said, the scholars say when 40 people get together, somebody's a friend of Allah. So they're hidden. Three things hidden inside of three. The anger of Allah. That's why you never look down at any sin. You keep it serious. You're like, yo, this is a sin. I fell into it, but it's serious. And good deeds. So what does he say? He says, لا تحقر أبدا ذنبا ولو قل. Even if it's small sin, but like, see, think about it this way, yo. What does it mean to call a sin small? Like, think of it this way. Somebody like you love, someone you love, you know, your mother or someone, right? Someone you love. Things that make them upset, all of those things are serious because of the displeasure it causes your mother. So let me give an example, right? Like, she just walked in too. All right. So let me give an example. I don't care if she's here. I'm going to drop it. So like I walk in sometimes and leave my shoes like right there. You know what I mean? There's a shoe rack. But you know, brothers, you know what I mean? Neshat like, nah. So sometimes, I'm going to just use myself. Sometimes I'll leave the shoes right there, right? And then I'll go, I'm tired, long day, you know what I mean? Like take off my shoes right there. And then we're going, and then, you know, mashallah, wifey's like, yo, your shoes. I'm like, yo, that ain't a big deal. Right? Now, to her, this is just an example. Y'all ain't got to, like, put her on the spot with it. But to her, she's like, what do you mean not a big deal? This is something that hurts me. Whether it's a shoe, a sock, or anything, it doesn't matter how big you see it as. What you should see it as is something that hurts me. I get the message. I got you. You feel me, right? You get what I'm saying? So for us to be like, oh, that's small. And we all have our pet peeves, right? So you could think of something that your brother does, and to him, that's like nothing. But to you, like, yo, why are you always doing that, dude? And to him, it's small. So when you look at the effect of it, here's what I want you to look at. If the effect is the displeasure of Allah, if the effect is that she's upset with me, what action is small then? The effect is what we're looking at, not the action. So what he says, and when it look at the pleasure now, but see, you got to use the reciprocal as well. You got to look at the other side. Is there anything small when it comes to pleasing somebody? If you just came, like, I don't know, think of the smallest thing you could do. You buy one like Hershey, like chocolate. Try this, yo. You buy like one little chocolate and you go to school tomorrow. One of your friends, you're like, yo, I bought this for you. The smallest little thing. Don't get like a Skittle. I mean, like, that's a bit too small. I mean, you know, something like small. It's like 50 cents at the store, right? Try it. Wallah, try it, yo. Try it with the right intentions, you know what I mean? But you buy something and you're like, yo, I was thinking about you. I didn't have time to stop, whatever, but here, yo, I bought you this, man. You know, you send the green heart. Green heart means we cool, right? What's green heart mean? What's green heart? Emoji green heart. It means good love, right? It means like platonic love. Whatever, yo. So, you know what I'm saying? So, yo, you get that little thing. It's not little. What I want us to understand is it may be like, oh, you guys are taking sin so serious. How can I live this life where nothing is small? Look at the other side too. Because what he says to us is when you fall into a sin, the immediate thing you got to do, here's the key. Number one is tawbah. And he says tawbah nasuha. And I'm going to talk about tawbah in detail. But then the second thing you do after tawbah is kafara. What does kafara mean? Expiate it. Like, inna al-hasanati yudhibna as-sayyiat. You follow the bad deed right away with a good deed. No matter how small it is. That's why Dr. Shadi, a Misri up in Jersey, he used to be like, the sadaqah box is always full, yo. In masjids. And the reason is everybody sinning, yo. So when you mess up, you roll through the masjid, you're like, let me put a little $50 up in here, yo. Let me kind of like clear this out a bit. You know? So the point is, though, two things we follow the sins up with, and this is what he's going to say. He says that He says, "La taqid abadan dhanban." Never look down upon any sin, because remember the effect of the sin. Then he says, "Walau qalla." No matter how small it is, it's serious. Take it serious. Fabadir. Once you sin, immediately rush lisamad to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi tawbatin minhu nasuhin. He says, rush to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a serious, sincere tawbah. Let's talk about tawbah. What is tawbah? Repentance. Tawbah means repentance. The word in Arabic, aba ya'ub, tawbah, means to return. I want you to look at it this way. Tawbah is a renewal. Tawbah is the beginning of your relationship with Allah, but it's also the end of the relationship with Allah as well. What do I mean by that? What's the final verse, what's the final surah revealed? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. The final thing being told to the Prophet ﷺ is استغفر, seek forgiveness of Allah. But the beginning of your journey with Allah is also tawbah. So look at it this way. Imam Ghazali says there's two types of people. Listen closely to this. Imam Ghazali says there's two types of people. There are some people who are completely protected from sins, number one. And number two, there are people who are constantly afflicted with sins. And he says this is the normal creation. The first one is like, illa masha'Allah, right? Once, one in every million. But the other is the normal creation. People who are connected with, that are habituated to sin. They sin regularly. Then what he said is, he said that from those who sin regularly, there are two types of people. Number one, those who persist in the sin. Al-musir. Like they just stay on it. I'm going to keep going. Number two, as al-mustaghfirin. Those who constantly keep turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Imam Ghazali explains is that the idea, brothers and sisters, is that the Prophet himself in a hadith says, I do tawbah to Allah 100 times in one day. What does that mean? The way me and you look at it is like, I did tawbah last month, I'm good. Like it's taxes or something. Like once a year, I'm good. The Prophet ﷺ was doing tawbah 100 times in a day. And what I need you to understand is it's a constant fixing of the relationship. It's not one time. And when we see it that way, then we find ourselves constantly in this state of wanting to do tawbah. Why do we do tawbah? Two reasons, Ghazali says. One reason to do tawbah is to clean your slate. That's most of us. He said the second reason to do tawbah is to become, listen to this, this is beautiful. One reason for tawbah is to have no sins. Because the hadith says, At-ta'ibu min al-dham, kamal la dhambala. The one who does tawbah, it says they have no sins. What's the second reason for tawbah? I ask you, if the Prophet ﷺ, we know, was protected from sins, why is he doing tawbah 100 times a day? To increase your rank. What Ghazali says, the other reason why you're doing tawbah constantly is because through tawbah, you become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to say that again because I really want that to resonate with you. Through tawbah and repentance, that means through my sins, I become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah says in the Quran, Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah loves those who are constantly doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to tawbah, like what does it mean to do sincere tawbah though? All right, this is important. Number one, these are important. How do you do tawbah? Number one is nadam. What does nadam mean? Remorse and regret. Remorse and regret over the sin. Number two, iqla'ul ma'asi, get out of the sin. Imam Ghazali's like, you can't do tawbah while you still like literally doing it, right? You got to get out of the sin. So get out of the sin. Then you have to have remorse over the sin. And here's the tough one. Al-azm ala adam al-aud. Firm resolve that I'm not going back. Now hold on. Remember. Remember the trick of shaitan. We say all the time. What does shaitan say to you? All right, I heard what the imam just said. I know where I'm going to be next week. We already know the solution to that. What's the solution? I don't know where I'm going to be next week. Remember, you only got to do Tawbah right now. The Prophet did Tawbah 100 times a day. You don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. So you could do Tawbah right now. Understand? So Tawbah ten nasuha. He says whenever we fall into these radha'il, we jump right back into Tawbah. And again, one of the things of Tawbah is you become the beloved of Allah. He says, بِتَوْبَةٍ مِنْهُ نَسُوحٍ. So you do Tawbah ten nasuha. And Tawbah nasuha just means sincere Tawbah. وَإِلَىٰ تَكْفِيرِهِ مِثْلِ صَلَاتِكَ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ الْأَحَدْ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِ وَالْأَصْحَابِ أَبَدْ. He says, and after you do Tawbah, right away you follow it up with a righteous deed. Takfir. Takfir means you find something positive, good to do. Whatever you can find right away to follow up that bad deed. And what does he say? مِثْلِ صَلَاتِكَ عَلَىٰ النَّبِي. He says, for example, just say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know the hadith says that the one who sins one salah ala nabi, one prayer on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away 10 of his sins. 10 of his sins for one salah ala nabi. You know, you have some cultures, man, some of the cultures in this room right now, some of y'all from countries, where y'all just say salah ala nabi for anything, man. Salah ala nabi means prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But some of the cultures in this room, they'd be like, oh, I forgot something. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Like, you know, any little thing. Sallallahu ala ala nabi. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. As I said before, listen. The scholars say one of the only deeds that's guaranteed to be accepted is salah ala nabi. It can't be rejected. It can't be rejected because it's a prayer for somebody else. So salah ala habib. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who says the most salah ala nabi will be the closest to me on yawm al-qiyamah. That means yawm al-qiyamah, you right there, man. Like, how you get here? He's like, yo. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. So prayers on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that was key to our ummah's spiritual progression. You cannot have a relationship with Allah without having a relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. And you cannot have a relationship with the Prophet ﷺ except that you get accustomed to sending prayers and blessings upon the Habib of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. He's the beloved of Allah, Habib Allah. So he says, so for example, you can expiate your sins with salah ala nabi. Wa katahajjudil layali. Bil khushu, or wake up for tahajjud. It seems to me like he just went through extremes. Right? Because you're like, wait, salah ala nabi or tahajjud? You're like, oh, salli ala Muhammad. Like, that's pretty easy one to decipher before. Tahajjud means waking up in the middle of the night. And to be real with you, some of the scholars used to say, may Allah have mercy on winter. The days are short so we can fast, and the nights are long so we can wake up for qiyamul layl. Meaning like, real talk. Qiyamul Layl is a way to get true nur in your heart. Qiyamul Layl. Like, I don't care what level of spirituality you are in this room. If you want to just like hit the elevator, just get regular on Qiyamul Layl. And in winter, it's easy. Like, real talk, what time's Fajr come in? 6:03? 6 what? Some of y'all know exactly. Some of y'all know the exact time that Fajr comes in. Huh? 6:20-ish? Right? So that means Qiyam al-Layl, you're getting easy at 5:45, 6 o'clock. You know people at the bus stop at 6 o'clock? Like, literally, people are at the bus stop at 6 o'clock. I'm like, dang, that wasn't, I don't know what school they going to, because we used to wake up at like 8 o'clock. We were good. They're putting them through like crazy stuff nowadays. But my point is, like, people are up. If you just go to sleep at a decent time, Qiyam al-Layl is easy. Now, what is Qiyam al-Layl? You get up, 2 raka'ah, middle of the night, no one sees you. You bust out your wudu, you make wudu, ablution, and then you sit there and you pray 2 raka'ah. And after that 2 raka'ah, you make supplication, man. You pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why it's so powerful is because nobody sees you. Because nobody sees you. And you can't show off unless you start telling people afterward. You know what I mean? Why are you so tired? You're waiting for somebody to ask you that. Then he says, "Wa khidmati وَخِدْمَةٍ لِكُلِّ صَالِحٍ مُطِيعٍ. Another way to expiate your sins, خِدْمَةِ كُلِّ صَالِحٍ. Find someone, serve them, help someone. He says, look for righteous people to serve. Look for your grandmother, your neighbor, someone righteous. Look, serve them. He says, وَكَمُجَالَسَتِهِمْ لِلْبَارِ. Sit with the righteous people too. Just sit with them. Be around them. سُبْحَانَهُ وَكَثْرَةِ اسْتِغْفَارِ. Do a lot of istighfar. Hadith, beautiful hadith. تُوبَى لِمَنْ وَجِدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ اِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. The Prophet ﷺ in a hadith said, glad tidings to the one who finds a lot of istaghfirullah in their scroll on Yawm al-Qiyamah. What does that mean? Istaghfirullah, 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 istaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Glad tidings to that person. La siyama sayyidul ladhi ishtahara. Especially if you use sayyidul istighfar. Okay, so now, little hack. You know, like, you know, video games, you got cheat codes. Well, the Prophet taught us a few, like, you know, cheat codes. You know, like, subhanallah wa bihamdi, like 33 times, 100 times. You know what I mean? Y'all don't know, no, like. You got it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Huh?
Like GTA.
What's GTA? No, I'm just joking. Okay. So, anyways, we shouldn't be on that. You know what I mean? But, khair. So hear me out. Seriously speaking, the Prophet ﷺ taught us certain du'as that have a special athar, special effect. Right? And so one of those is like Sayyidul Istighfar, what the Prophet ﷺ coined and called the master of all ways to seek forgiveness. And what is it? Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha. So if you don't know it, then after the darus, inshallah, I can pull it up on an app for you, inshallah. I mean, it's on all those apps that I've shared with you before. And you can send it to the Telegram group, right? All right, post it in the Telegram group. Done, right there. Let me read it, though, for the barakah of reading it. Allahumma anta rabbi, O Allah, you are my Lord. Anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant. Khalaqtani, you created me. Khalaqtani, wa ana abduk. You created me, and I am your servant. Khalaqtani, wa ana abduk, wa ana la ahdika. And I am on my pledge and promise to you as much as I can. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from the evil that I did. Like, this, that to me is heavy. Like, you gotta realize there's evil consequences to the bad deeds you're doing. When you realize that, then it really hits you. Oh Allah, I go back to you with the blessings that you've given me. That's powerful, because as I'm seeking forgiveness, I'm remembering all the blessings Allah has given me at the same time. أَبُؤُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُؤُ بِذَنْبِي. But I come back to you with my sins. The concept is to realize, shaitan makes you feel, when he sinned, he ran away. Here's the deal. When shaitan sinned, what did he do? He's like, I'm out. What we learn is, when you sin, where do you go? Back. Like, you know, like, you take like little Qasim, I don't know where he is, right? Is he here? Oh, dang. All right. You take a young child, like 3, 4, right? When the mother pushes it away, 3, 2, maybe 2, 3, right? Whatever. When the mother pushes it away, like, I'm angry with you, pushes it, where does the child go? Because the child, why? The child knows it has nowhere else to go. So when you realize, I have nowhere else to go, when you commit that sin, you come right back to. أَبُؤُ بِذَنْبِي. فَغْفِرْلِي. What is the rest? One at a time, I can't hear everybody. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Indeed, no one can forgive sins except for you. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is Sayyidul Istighfar. My recommendation, y'all, once a day, man. End of the day. I mean, for real. I mean, like, if you're going to use it, it's at the end of the day. It's at the end of the day. لَا سِيَمَا سَيِّدُ الَّذِي اشْتَهَرَ. وَكَثْرَةِ التَّسْبِيهِ أَيْذًا وَالْفِكْرَةِ. He says, another thing to expiate sins, you don't got no money, you don't know the dua, no people to serve, can't get up for Qiyam al-Layl, tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. لَا سِيَّمَا صَلَاتُهُ وَهِيَ أَجَلْ بَرَكَةً كَمَا وَرَاهُ مَنْ نَقَلْ. And then he goes back, salatuhu, back to your salat ala nabi. This is one of the best ways. All right, let's move forward. Next section, still on the same topic. وَقَسَّمَ الصُّوفِيُّ لِلْقِسْمَيْنِ تِلْكَ الرَّضَائِلِ بِغَيْرِ مَيْنِ. He says the scholars of spirituality, they have separated the radha'il, the vices, into two types. ظَاهِرَةٌ وَبَاطِنَةٌ. When you look at the radha'il, there are two types, the external and the internal. وَفَالظَّاهِرُ هِيَ الْحَرَامِ فَاطْلُبَ الْمُبَادَرَةِ. He says the zahir are haram. You have to stay away from them. فَطْلُبُ الْمُبَادِرَةِ. Stay away from them. Seek to be away from these things. But he's going to go into them. فَوَاجِبٌ عَلَى الْمُكَلَّفٍ الْكَفُ عَنْهَا خَوْفَ رَبِّ النَّاسِ جَلَّ. He says it's wajib upon each and every one of us to stay away from these as much as possible out of our fear for Allah. When we say fear for Allah, I want us to understand what we mean by fearing Allah. When you truly love Allah and you realize I don't have anything more than Allah and that's all I have, the fear you have is fear of losing His love. It's the fear of losing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, خَغِيبَةٍ. For example, غِيبَة. غِيبَة. What is غِيبَة? غِيبَة is backbiting. I wanted to talk about this sin particularly. غِيبَة is backbiting. When I became Muslim, one of the most interesting sins to me was this concept of ghiba being haram. What is ghiba? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Do not backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of their dead brother? In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was taken for the night journey, the Prophet ﷺ saw people in the hellfire with nails of iron and they were scratching their face. And the Prophet ﷺ is like, who are these people? And Gabriel told him, these are the people of the ummah who are backbiting. What is backbiting? The Prophet ﷺ, he said that backbiting is ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. To speak about, text about, type about, write about, gesture, or indicate something about your brother or sister that they would dislike. When the Sahaba heard that, they were like, what if it's true? And that's what everybody says. Or you know what else they say? I could tell her to her face. Right? Right? I could tell her to her face. That doesn't matter. It's still backbiting. The fact that you could is backbiting. And if you did tell her in her face, that would be even worse. Because now you're directly hurting. The Prophet ﷺ, regarding this sin, this is a major sin in Islam. Like, so when I came into the community, I'm like, yo, these people mad pious, yo. Because in most of our gatherings, the only thing we talk about is other people. So I'm like, dang, what would it be like to chill with these people, man? Because everywhere I go, like, if I'm with family, we like, man, cousin Jerome, man. You know what I mean? Like, not Jerome, literally. I got a cousin, Jerome. I ain't talking about him. Yo, cuz, I'm not talking about you, man. Because he be watching my Facebook stuff, too. So I'm just using a name. But the point is, in many of our gatherings, we talk a lot about people. And so when I accepted Islam, I'm like, wow, Islam doesn't allow you to backbite. Wow. And then I got in the community. I was like, dang. Wow. So Imam Ghazali says there's 8 reasons why people backbite. Now, hold on one more. Before we talk about this sin, what I need you to understand about all the external radha'il, the reason why they're so bad is they're actually indicative of a deeper spiritual disease inside of you. Let me say that again. All of the external sins in radha'il, the reason why they're so bad is because they are actually symptoms of another disease inside of you. They are not the disease themselves. They are symptoms of a sick heart. And so in order to treat it, you have to be aware of what's causing it. You cannot get rid of ghiba unless you understand the causes of ghiba. Before you go forward, you need to understand this. This should be your primary motivation for giving up ghiba, backbiting. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, a person will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I need you to picture this. a person is going to come standing before Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and their deeds are going to be lined up to be weighed. This person will have mountains of good deeds. Everyone looking at this person is envious. My man got Qiyam al-Layl, he got Dhikr, he got Salat ala Nabi, that person's got Quran, they got all of the good deeds. And the person feels very proud. I'm good to go. Weigh my stuff up. I'm ready to roll the Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, after this person's deeds are weighed, are there anyone who has a haq, a right on this person right now? What that means is, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, everything's made even. If you wrong someone, we believe justice is on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Justice can't be fulfilled in dunya. You understand? Well, justice, what, Hitler killed how many people, man? No, seriously speaking. And we kill one life? How is that justice? Where is the justice for the millions of lives that he took? Akhirah is justice. Qiyamah is justice. That's where justice is found. So Allah will call anyone from creation. Is there anyone that knows this dude right here, Mikael, who has a haq against him? The Prophet ﷺ said, a line will form. A line will form. And who are these people? These are all the people that this person backbit, all of the people that this person swore at, hurt, wrong, stole from, harmed in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, well, today is the day of justice. If this person backbit you, you go to their good deeds and you take a few good deeds. Those are your good deeds. Now that's the only way. Currency. There's no more money here. There's only one currency. The currency to get you into Jannah. So Allah says on Yawm al-Qiyamah now, he backbit you in the dunya. Okay, only thing I can give you is some of his good deeds. Go take some of his good deeds. Now, how many good deeds? I don't know. No, that's the next question. Like, for one backbit, how many salah he getting? I don't know. The hadith says the line will form until this person's mountain of good deeds is completely gone. But guess what, yo? The line ain't done yet. The line is still there of people who say, what about me? This person did wrong to me. Allah will say, okay, he has no more good deeds. You know what you can do now? You can take some of your bad deeds and put it on the scale of this person. Backbiting, brothers and sisters, is a serious, major sin in our religion. And it's so beautiful in Islamic culture if we just did it. It's so beautiful. I know most of us ain't gonna have nothing to talk about. We might talk less, but it's so beautiful if you fathom and think about what type of... Here's one jewel that someone dropped on me one time. Someone's like, never sit with someone backbiting someone else. You know why? This is real. The person who will backbite with you will backbite you too. The person who will backbite with you be like, yo, man, Muhammad, you like, yeah, you're right, yo. The moment he gets up and goes over there, he's like, yeah, Mikael. Seriously, the person who will backbite with you will backbite you as well. But they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this. So Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, backbiting is a serious sin in our religion. In one hadith, I know this sounds crazy. Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Like, we all know how, like prude and moral, like, sexually, like, careful we are in the deen, like, zina is a major sin. Everybody knows fornication is a huge sin. Prophet ﷺ in one hadith, he said, "Ghiba al-ghiba ashaddu min az-zina." Ghiba is worse than fornication. That is like, it's serious, man. It's serious sin. So why do we do zina? Not zina, astaghfirullah. Why do we backbite? Astaghfirullah, Allah protect us. Why do we backbite? 8 causes. Imam Ghazali says, there are 8 reasons. And then he says there's 3 that only scholars do. Listen to this. Number 1 reason people backbite. And the reason we need to know this is because if you want to treat backbiting, you can't treat backbiting. It's a symptom. You have to know the cause of it. Then we can treat the cause. You feel me? Okay, so look what he says. Number 1, anger. The reason you backbite is just to get rid of anger. Number 2, to fit in with friends. Number 2 reason you backbite, just to fit in with people. Number 3, Ghazali's very deep. Listen to this. He says, There's some action that you want to free yourself of and say that I don't do it. So you start to talk about someone who does that. Think about it. Like, I don't know, I ain't trying to put myself on the bus, but like, there's some action that you want everyone to know you don't do, or you want people to think you don't do. So you start talking about someone else that they do that thing. Right? But your intention is actually to make it look like I don't do that. That's your intention. Shaitan, yo. Number four. You want to make yourself look good and raise your status. Only reason. So you're like, yeah, she cute, but you know. Oh yeah, he's a good scholar, but you know. But you know. But you know. That's dangerous, man. Because we start off good. It's like, yeah, yo, Mohad, yo, great Qadi. But you know, right there. Why? I'm trying to raise my status. I'm trying to raise my status in front of people. Number five, which is connected to four, jealousy, hasad. You're just jealous. You a hater. You're just jealous. Number, and each of these is a separate disease we have to cure, guys. Like, what was the cure for jealousy, hasad? Pray more. What was the cause of jealousy? Who remembers the cause of hasad, jealousy? Misunderstanding the blessings of Allah. You think that if Allah gives this person this, he can't give me too. Who has limited the khazain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the treasures of Allah? All right, let's keep going. Number six, wanting to make people laugh. You just want to make people laugh, that's it. So you just start backbiting someone just so everyone's like, oh, you're so funny, dude. The other reason you backbite is making fun of someone. It's connected to the previous one. But sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not there. Making fun of someone. So this is a little deep. Number eight, he goes, someone is about to accuse you of something. So now you got to discredit that person. So when they do accuse you, they have less credibility. So you start backbiting that person. So before they even come out with the garbage on you, no one believes them because they're already like you discredited them. Those are eight reasons people backbite, according to Imam Ghazali. Then Imam Ghazali says, but the scholars and the people of knowledge, they do the worst form of backbiting. Listen to this. He says the way they backbite is ta'ajjub, tarahum, and ghadab. Listen, ta'ajjub, the way the scholar backbites, Subhanallah, man. Fatima, man. Subhanallah. Like that. Seriously, you know what I'm saying? Wow, I can't believe that. That's what they do? Wow. He says, astonishment. Ta'ajjub. Subhanallah. When you hear someone going, Subhanallah, about someone, backbiting's coming right after that. Watch, right after that. They're about to say, Subhanallah. I can't believe they do that. You just backbit the person. What are you doing? Number two, tarahum. May Allah have mercy on Abdullah, man. What did he do? Just like that. Just like, man, Allah have mercy on him, man. Now you want, and now you want no more. Well, you know, there it is. And Imam Ghazali says, this is how the ulama backbite, yo. They don't come out just be like, da-da-da-da. They be like, subhanAllah. May Allah have mercy on that person. Astaghfirullah. Right? And then the last one, anger over the sin. They act angry over a sin. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Can't believe what he's doing. What's he doing, Shaykh? He's doing this. Backbiting right there. So, what's the cure? Imam Ghazali gives a cure for backbiting. He gives a jumla cure, like just healthy practices cure. But then he says if you want true treatment, you're going to have to go to the reason why you're backbiting. But if you want the general treatment for backbiting, it's in two things he says. Number one is attention to your own faults. Stop looking at everybody else's faults, man. Focus on yours. Number two cure is knowledge about what you're giving up. One of the tabi'i I was reading about, someone let him know that a certain person was backbiting him. So he gathered he got a hadiyah for him, some dates. And he sent the dates to him with a letter. And he said, you know, it's reached me that you're backbiting me. And I wanted to say thank you. And I had no other way of rewarding you the way you've rewarded me. So I'm just sending you this gift of dates. Please accept it from me. Another scholar, they wrote him a letter. And the other guy was like, I heard you backbit me. He's like, no, I would never love you that much. If I backbit anyone, I backbite my mom. But I don't love you that much to backbite you. Like, that's the level of consciousness they had about this sin of backbiting. And so, I mean, in Islam, it's a major sin. And I just wanted to stop at this sin because we slacking on this, yo. And I know he mentioned more. I'll do them next week. But I want to end here and be like, yo, our homework for this whole week is to just stop backbiting people, man. And don't excuse it, man. Stop trying to make excuses. That's the main problem. We just excuse it like, I'm only saying it because whatever reason. It doesn't matter what reason. The point is, the Prophet ﷺ said, if this person doesn't like what you're saying. Now remember this, text message is the same thing. Now who gets the sin for backbiting? Two people, the listener and the speaker. The hadith is clear. So if you're the one that don't backbite, but you like to just sit on the wall and be like, You share in the itham. So, brothers and sisters, inshallah, I think we should stop here just because I think if we... I'll just end with a few more narrations. One time, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was in the house with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a woman came in, and she was short. And then when the woman left, if my memory serves me correct, the Prophet was mentioning her, and Aisha was like, you mean the short one? And the Prophet ﷺ was like, no, you just backbit her. Oh, the short one? Oh, the skinny one? Oh, this one? That's backbiting, guys. And so the rule is something that person would not like to be said, that's ghibah right there. And so may Allah give us tawfiq to guard the tongue, be conscious of what it says. And if y'all got good deeds, like, that y'all don't need, you know what I mean? Like, yo, all of us in here, like, which of us has enough good deeds? Like, I'm sure all of us are like, yo, I'm slacking, bro. And on top of me slacking, here I am backbiting? Like, we are not the people to give good deeds away. We need them, right? So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Focus. When you find yourself slipping up, the other thing is this. Backbiting to stop people takes courage. So let's be real. Hold on. Backbiting, when it's being done around you, that's the hardest moment to either just absent yourself or be like, cut it. So I had a classmate. I think I shared this with y'all. I had a classmate when we were studying ilm. And, you know, any people you spend a lot of time with, you get so comfortable with them that you put down these guards with them, right? And when it's not, like, if me and you were just chilling and one of us started backbiting, we'd be like, what are you doing? Right? But the moment we start chilling, then it becomes more adi, right? So we had this classmate, mashallah, man. He's a sheikh, mashallah, up in Canada somewhere. And his habit was, anytime backbiting started, he would just start to make, like, noise. It was so funny. So, like, we're just chilling, talking, and me and him start. He'd just be like, da-da-da-da-da-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. And everybody's like, and after a while, you're like, oh, okay, we get it. He's trying to tell us to stop backbiting because he doesn't want to hear it. Right? And it was so effective. And he didn't have to say, no, I'm not saying you could do that with people. That might not work. But the main thing I would say to us, if we're in a gathering where we can't stop it, then what do? You just get up and bounce that gathering. Because I can't control it. I'm out. And you just dip out. I got to use the bathroom real quick. I'll be back. But absence yourself from that gathering because I got precious deeds that I'm trying to hold on. Now, there are certain scenarios where it's not considered ghibah. Like if you're telling someone in authority, that's not ghibah. If you're trying to prevent someone from some harm that they're going through, that's not ghibah. There are certain scenarios, but even in those scenarios, they say, like, you should be very careful. Last thing I'll say is indicating without saying the person's name, but everyone knows who it is ghibah too. Now, if I was just to say to you guys, like, I know this one dude, man, he mad messed up. Like, nobody knows. It's not ghibah. But the moment I start like, yeah, he be wearing like a Tommy shirt and he wears the, and y'all like, oh, I know him, then it's Libra right there. You know what I'm saying? So keep this in mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Sheikh Ahmad Duban rahimahullah is going to go through a number of zahir, external sins. And so I'm going to break each of these down, inshallah ta'ala. And then he's going to go into the internal ones. Just remember, external are symptoms of internal deeper sicknesses. And if you're struggling with any of these, then you have to see a doctor and tell them, I have this deeper thing. How do I cure that thing? A spiritual doctor, right? Yes. Yeah, so clarifying zina is, riba is worse than zina. The reason is because of the consequence of it. If someone, na'udhu billah, slipped up into zina, they know. They're going to do deep toba. They feel horrible. The problem is riba goes on your whole 30, 40 years of your life and you never do toba. Right? And so it's worse because you never get a chance to do toba from it. It just keeps on going and going and going and going. All right? And I guess if you're sitting in this gathering with people and y'all backbite together, then this is a good opportunity to be like, yo, halakha was deep, yo, we gotta like, all right, we gonna stop, right? Like, use this as an opportunity to reset, start over, and be like, nah, we can't. Now, what if you've already backbit someone, and you gotta rectify that? Well, you gotta ask them for forgiveness. If you get forgiveness from them, then you're good on Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah ta'ala. Now, here's the deal. Do you have to go up to the person and be like, yo, Abdullah, I was backbiting you, can you forgive me? So most scholars say you should not do that. Because once you say, I was backbiting you, then be like, what'd you say? Who were you with? And now it's open up. So if you just like, does everyone here forgive me for anything I've done? All right, cool. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Some scholars be like, you need to be a little, no, I ain't going to backbite you. Don't worry, inshallah. But some say you should go to that person and be like, listen, life happens. Sometimes we make mistakes. Like, if I've ever said anything or heard anything said about you, can you please forgive me? You got to do that. You got to get that cleaned, or else on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that person is coming asking for good deeds. So, and on that day, they ain't going to be generous, yo. Yawma yafirru mar'u min akhi wa ummihi wa abi. On that day, nobody's like, yeah, you're good to go. So may Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Let's make a dua. Yes, question. Any questions, inshallah, yeah. Yes, predestination. And it was written where you were going, yes. No, it's the other way. If you find yourself doing good deeds and they're easy for you, that means you were written for Jannah.
Yeah. So how would you explain it to somebody?
You can't.
No, what
I'm saying. No, for real. Predestination is a conundrum which you can't. You know, Imam Ali or one of the scholars, they said, one of the beautiful things, one of the mysteries of God is how he forced on us free will. How he forced on us choice. Hold on, y'all, that, you gotta let that sit, yo. How he forced on us choice. We cannot understand the concept of predestination and free will. Like, it's impossible to understand. In and outside of Islam. Like, it's a philosophical conundrum that can never be solved. Because we see it as a secret of God. It's Allah's secret. That's why you can't understand it.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, okay, you know how some people, it's like they're trying to learn Islam, but they find sins that are easy for them, and doing good deeds hard for them, right?
Okay, that's everyone a bit. That means I'm damned. That means I'm damned for hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Can you explain that to somebody and give them, like, no, that's not what it is?
No, I would just, we have to let people understand and know that Allah gave you a choice. Right now, you can get up and come and punch me in the face if you want. You feel that free will,
yeah.
And Allah gave you that ability, that free will. You have that free will, and you choose what action you want to do. And so I would just focus on teaching that person to be proactive and not just sit back and look at what was written for them. Yeah, no, you're good.
In the tangent of like, yo, this bad deed is easy for me, and this good deed is hard for me.
Yeah.
How is that
so,
the way it is?
So what, okay, I got you. I feel you. So if I was speaking to that person, I would say to that person that for all of us, good deeds are a struggle. We all have to make ourselves accustomed. Like the first time I drank coffee, I remember I was like, this is horrible. And everyone struggles for what they want to be, right? So that's a, like a common nature of life. Wallahu a'lam. Other questions about ghibah and stuff? Yes. Yes. Oh, great, great job. If they don't forgive you, you go to someone, you're like, yo, I may have backbit you. They're like, yep, I'll see you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the reaction, seriously, the reaction, scholars wrote about this. What you do is you start to give sadaqah on behalf of the person until you feel in your heart that perhaps I've paid the person back and make dua for the person. So you're praying for them. You're giving charity on their behalf. You're doing as much righteousness on their behalf as you can with the hope that this will be compensation.
Can you just skip the forgiveness part?
No, you can't. You have to ask the person for forgiveness. You literally have to. That's part of Tawbah. It's just like you stole my money and then you do Tawbah to Allah. I'm like, give me my money back. You can't just become a better person with my $1,000 in your pocket. Right? You have to give my haq back to me. Yes. The question there was, just in case you didn't hear, the question was, can you just skip that part and ask and just start doing good deeds on their behalf? No, you do have to seek forgiveness. Basir.
If you've been doing it for years and years and decades, you lose track.
Phew.
There's nothing written. You
yes.
What you said, when you said, how you said, where you said. What are you supposed to do about it? Because you can't go back to them and ask them now because you don't even remember.
Yeah, yeah. That's spoken. See, the Ahmed Zarruq speaks in. The question, let me repeat the question, I'm sorry. You've been backbiting for years. I mean, 20 years, 10 years. You hear today's halakha, you're like, I can't even remember. To the best of your ability, you do seek forgiveness from those who do you remember. And what Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, rahimullah, he says is, the rest you ask Allah to forgive you. You ask Allah to forgive you. That's all you can do in that scenario. Yeah, there's a lot of questions, guys. Okay, yes. It is, so you have a close friend, so you're saying you make fun of that friend. Yeah, he's like, you say to your friend, what's wrong with your shoes? But if he's in front of you and you're joking, if they're not truly hurt feelings, it's okay, right? If they're not truly hurt feelings, it's okay. If they're not present, then you got to worry about ghiba, and then you got to tell the person, yo, I was chilling with Ahmed, we were cracking on you a little bit. But it's still ghibah, guys. Another thing is backbiting non-Muslims. I don't know why people think because someone is famous or non-Muslim, you can backbite them. Where did that come from? You can't backbite famous people. They will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah too. Like, and we think, oh, they're famous, so it's not a... No. Like, I know it's like everyone's going to leave here like, I don't even know what to talk about no more. But the point I'm trying to make is that we need to be cognizant of people's rights, and those are people too. They are people. They have a haq. Just because they're famous doesn't mean that they're excluded from the rights of the rest of humanity. Oppressors, that's a different category completely. That's a completely different category. La yuhibbullah jahra bisu'i illa man dhulim. Allah does not like the speaking of evil except for oppressors. Yeah, you're at a work meeting and it starts. One second, please. You're at a work meeting and it starts. You can't get up and leave. That's where your heart hates what you're doing, and that's all you can do. Your heart hates it. Inside, you're like, Ya Allah, if I could, I'd leave. You're just not enjoying it. Inshallah, you get the reward as if you weren't even there. Khalid, and then we're done. I mean, if there's no more questions.
See, some people that I may have backbited, I've been saying, Syria, like, 2 meter tongue.
Okay.
Just asking for forgiveness might come back on a lot of harm on me.
Yep.
So,
can you do a general ask for forgiveness? You know, like, when people go for Hajj, they ask people for forgiveness?
It's not someone who I normally would talk to.
Oh.
And it's one
Yeah. Yeah, no. This is what Sidi Ahmed Zarruq talks about, that there's a greater harm from going to that person. In that case is where you go to the other stage and you just start doing good deeds on behalf and ask Allah for that forgiveness. If you know for sure, not speculative, you know this is going to cause major fitna, just asking this, that means you're creating a bigger problem, then you should avoid that.
Before Ramadan,
but find occasions. Before Ramadan, Ramadan starting, I just want, I'm calling everybody up. I'm not just calling you, I'm calling everyone.
Going back to the celebrities, why do you
I don't know. The question was, if you backbit like a celebrity, how do you ask them for forgiveness? I don't know. Last one. This is the last question. One second, we're almost done. Just one second.
It's more like superficial, you know what I'm saying? It's like, especially if it's a basketball player. If it's like,
yeah.
Like, oh, their acting wasn't too good in that movie. Is that me, like...
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I really don't know the answer to that question. Yeah, I don't know. Nashat, yes. Any bad deeds.
When you go to the scale, they're all the same. Everybody, like, Allah, he's the one who judges, right?
Yes, but there has to be rights of other people given to them.
So how do you explain forgiveness to a non-Muslim?
How do you explain forgiveness of God to a non-Muslim or forgiveness between people?
Yeah, the first one, to God.
I think non-Muslims understand that we seek God's forgiveness for sins that we've done, but some sins are, I got you, we have huquq Allah, huquq al-ibad, the rights of God and the rights of people. God can't forgive the rights of people. It doesn't matter. God doesn't forgive the rights of people. If I harm someone, even a Christian would understand, or a Jew, or some other religion, would understand that you have to seek forgiveness from people too. I think that's shared across all religions. Well, their policy is different than them. You're like, for example, don't laugh, please. I'm not making fun of this person. Like, if you take our current president and you're talking about what he's doing, that's completely different than just about him, whether it be things they spoke about, like physical features of him and stuff like that. That's a completely different thing. When we're discussing, is this policy he's making good for us versus other mundane things about him, which is just taking a shot at him. That's how we as Muslims should look at any leader. Very simple, very simple. Exactly, like without joking, please, let's not laugh. I'm not trying to give deeds to nobody. Yeah, like there's all types of things they said and make fun of. We see memes about them all the time. That is not something that we should be, as Muslims who care about our relationship with Allah, involved in. Policy, that's different. He's a horrible leader for us. That's not backbiting. But he, whatever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean our tongues and our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to righteous actions. Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings, Ya Allah. We ask you to clean our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you to always keep us coming closer to you, Ya Allah. We ask you to make us of those people who can always renew our tawbah and our repentance and get closeness to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to increase our understanding of you and increase our love for your beloved Prophet Muhammad and all of the Anbiya, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah protect us, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.